grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, kia ora. G'day.
Hello. We got you here in the end.
Yes. Yeah. And kia ora to everyone listening. Lovely Hello. Day to get like-minded with us. And if you know what that means. Of course you know what that means.
Get on our wavelength.
We don't even have to allude to it. But someone who did, just to get straight into it. And I want to open with an apology to Kaitaia. And that's because Takapuna is now New Zealand's cannabis capital.
This kind of shocked me when I first heard about it.
Well, it's Radio New Zealand are calling it a boring business. 1ZB, this is all today's news. Seems like the same kind of story rehashed or PR push. News Talk ZB, how a beachside suburb became New Zealand's cannabis capital. And that beachside suburb is Takapuna, it turns out. And New Zealand Herald, they called it a hub of the cannabis industry.
Wow.
And the reason being, speaking of 420, is the sign, the motorway sign is 420 for Takapuna.
In case
nobody knows, every time I drive north, I'm like, there it is, 420. And in fact, back in the days when we used to organise Cannabis Cup, that was in fact where you boarded the boat.
Oh.
So you got exit 420 to go jump on the boat.
So it actually does have a bit of a, you know, got its own kind of geographical cannabis importance, you know?
That's
just by being there.
And what they're really getting to is that the Cannabis Clinic is based in Takapuna, and they have, according to their own estimates, and the biggest prescriber, apparently a third of prescriptions for cannabis going through the Cannabis Clinic.
Wow.
They say in the article, or articles, 12,000 products prescribed per month. Mm-hmm. And at a rough guess, if there's say two per prescription, you know, 6,000 a month, which is what, 200 a day, 7 days a week. So clearly there's the demand there, and that's I think what really has happened is it's a fairly swanky suburb to base a clinic in, and amongst a pool of people that can probably afford to do it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And but meeting a demand that others weren't willing to. So good on Wasim and the other team at Cannabis Clinic for being successful at that and helping all those people, helping, you know, 6,000 people a month being helped there.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. I've always associated Takapuna with being, you know, quite like a kind of, you know, upper middle class, like quite safe place. Mm. So it's quite funny that it's turned into the cannabis capital, cannabis hub.
Yeah, so Cannabis Clinic, in fact, have their own pharmacy located next door to them. That is a sign of how they've expanded.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, good on them.
Good
and there
on
was
them.
Another article earlier in the week, seems to be related, profiling some of the same people, including Katie Thomas, whose mother, her child is being prescribed cannabis to help with seizures. Best thing they've come across. Well, the only thing that works, according to the stories there. And so cannabis for kids, NZ children get hundreds of prescriptions a year. And this is some new figures that the Herald dug up that showed 500 medical cannabis prescriptions for children under 10 in the last 2 years.
Incredible. All for different things. I mean, epilepsy is really hard to manage and hard to live with.
Yeah, and you know, the headline is kind of almost like a bit of clickbait, and it is in fact behind a paywall, and it's like, oh my god, what's going on here, prescribing to kids? But just cast your mind back a few years, and of course it was all about kids having seizures, and that's where the kind of the modern movement to legalize cannabis was, through kids with epilepsy and getting them the large doses of CBD that they needed to help with that.
Yes, yeah. I mean, and people need to remember, you know, it's easy to create quite a scary headline and be like, oh, these kids have weed, you know, but really they're being prescribed CBD, which isn't even psychoactive.
It could be the THC too, but it's in the context that it's a medicine and there aren't age limits on medicines, and it's down to that, you know, the doctor and the interaction in the clinic and things, and, you know, Yeah, so there you go. So it's a bit of a non-story, but kind of interesting. Mm. And it just shows, I guess, that there's a lot of people now that are actually being helped through the medical cannabis scheme, which is great to see.
And that's what it is. It's always just lovely to hear that people are getting the treatment that they need and are getting results that they need. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if I could just pivot to something that was news to me, even though we've talked a little bit about drug driving over the last few weeks, there was the amendment bill that the government have put through that is now law, and I think we were only given a few days to do submissions. It was a very short period. I did an oral submission, you know, over the internet to them,
yes,
as a bunch of other people did. And what escaped me, and in fact, I haven't even... It wasn't in any of their announcements, it's not in their press releases, but it is in the Land Transport Act amended, updated copy that's now at Legislation GOV/TNZ. And that is that the levels of detection for THC are actually changed. They are no, even though they were bad enough before, it was three nanograms a mil was a fine or infringement, 5 nanograms a mil was a criminal conviction, kind of like the equivalent of getting done for like having one beer or half a beer maybe. And or what you did yesterday, and certainly not correlated to impairment. Well, they've actually changed it just secretly. They didn't even announce it and make it like a big deal. It's quietly changed. It's now 1 nanogram is your fine.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And 3 nanograms is a off-court criminal record. It was
That's
just a fine before.
Crazy.
Now it's a criminal record. Mm.
Because we have real life anecdote, didn't you? Friend that came from Australia. Took one. And what was his blood nanogrammage?
1400 and something.
See, and that was just after...
That was an hour after having a smoke, so...
Okay, so those are ridiculous levels.
Yeah. Yeah. Germany, they have 3.5 as their one. They're illegal now, they just announced their driving limits. So that kind of puts that in context, I guess. But yes, it's very, very, very low.
Very low.
Also, where this came out, in fact, what really put me onto it was an Australian website, Cannabis, that actually profiled the Medical Cannabis Council submission on that bill, and that's where it came out. And I've lost my point. There's a medical defence, so this is in the context, we were talking medical before, so if you have a prescription, you do have a defence if you're over those levels, but that defence doesn't exist... to an automatic 12-hour stand-down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if they catch you, you're above that 1 nanogram...
Yeah, no matter whether it's medical or
threshold.
Not, you're off the road for 12 hours.
Off the road for 12 hours.
And then, you have a defence, which might involve going to court to use that defence, when, no one quite knows yet.
Wow. Still maybe have to go to court.
Mm.
Ridiculous.
Certainly if it ends up being like Australia, there'll be a lot of innocent, unimpaired drivers getting prosecuted. So I don't know. It's a bit grim. So I don't like to end on grim things.
No.
but we'll have to. No, we won't. But I did want to discredit, or at least discuss, a little study.
This is worthy.
So this is University of Canterbury. It actually published in Nature. So in the face of it, you kind of go, well, hey, University, Nature, you don't get much higher level kind of journal than that.
You'd suppose it to be correct.
You'd suppose it to be correct. So the press release, maternal cannabis use linked to genetic changes in babies. And that headline, of course, makes you think they found genetic changes in babies. But when I read the study, it didn't really seem like that's what it was. So they're using the Christchurch Health and Development Study. This is a bunch of 1,000 people born in Christchurch in 1977.
Yes.
I think they have about 4 or 5% Māori in there, but otherwise it's a very white middle class kind of cohort. But that's by the by. They also had another cohort in the UK, a different data set, and they looked at both of those. And what they found was this thing called methylation at the genes. And initially you think, oh my god, it's meth! But no, it's not. Methylation's a common, it happens all the time. It's what drives evolution. So that in itself's not an issue. But what they were saying was, your endocannabinoid system is so crucial that even a single exposure to cannabis could put this methylation in the wrong place.
So it's all very could, perhaps.
Yeah.
Might.
Yeah.
May.
But that's not, the coverage that's already happened overseas is saying changes in babies' brains, blah, 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 blah. So the coverage has gone way ahead of what the actual study has found.
Yeah.
And the study themselves are quite cautious to say, well, all we've really done is justify having a bigger study and doing it better. And that we should have conversations around that. And of course, I totally agree with that. There should definitely be conversations around it, and pregnant women should be very careful. But, you know, they might be using it medically under their doctor's supervision for things like nausea and things, which might be good for the baby's development, of being able to eat better and things. So,
yes, and
you know, there's always pluses and minuses there. But just to give you an idea of why I think it's slightly shonky, Christchurch Health and Development, it's the opposite of a clinical trial. It's a glorified survey. No disrespect to the people running it, but you're just asking people questions about what they think they did all those years ago or whatever. The people that had the cannabis exposure during pregnancy was four people in the Christchurch Health and Development. So that is what this is based on, is four people.
Four people. Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, in a normal scientific, you know, research, that's not enough.
They also didn't control for tobacco, because the sample is so small they couldn't.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's pretty flawed at its roots.
But, you know, of justification for further investigation and to have open conversations. And, of course, the best way to have an open conversation is if it's legal and you can actually have an open conversation.
And yeah, that would be kind of the glory of it, is if they went back, did a proper trial with enough people and, you know, actually properly controlled it. You know, then we would have a clear answer that then we would be able to discuss, as opposed to this kind of like, oh, might, may, turning into headlines that are like,
and headlines,
everyone's
like,
cooked.
Headlines can become policy, and they can become policies that involve taking babies from their mothers, you know, based on shonky. So it's happened before, and we certainly wouldn't want to see that happen as a result of this one. And as an example of what can happen when you get police involved in health policies, this is also in the Herald. US police officer gets gun stuck to MRI machine in bungled cannabis raid. LAPD is being sued by the owners of a diagnostic facility after they were raided by a SWAT team described as nothing short of a disorganized circus. So this guy, Officer Kenneth Franco, he had 12 hours of narcotics training. He looked up their electricity bill and didn't think, hey, it's an MRI facility that might use, but he thought cannabis grow. They raided it. One of the officers walked near the machine dangling their rifle. It was immediately attracted to the machine and secured to it. And then instead of actually asking for help, he hit the emergency shutdown button, which destroyed everything, you know, the machine and everything. So, and then after he retrieved his gun, he left the magazine full of bullets on the floor. Yeah, so it's a bit key. So that's what happens when you put cops in charge of health policy right there.
What a pack of wallies. Like, sorry, that is so funny.
It is kind of hilarious.
You've got to laugh at it. But 12 hours of drug training.
And then, yeah, let loose.
Into the MRI facilities, right?
Yeah.
Too much electricity.
And finally, some good news. And I get asked about this all the time. People coming into the shop down at the hemp store saying, have you got the hemp gummies? And there's something is going on the internet and it's sending people our way for this product called Smart Hemp Gummies. As far as I can tell, it's not even sold in New Zealand. Seems like some sort of internet scam. We have no idea what it's sending. We've never stocked it. I found them online in America. Turns out it's some hemp seed oil and some gummies.
Oh.
And initially I thought, well, you know, that's great, of course, because it's hemp seed oil. It's still going to be good, but it's not CBD, what people might be thinking. Mm. Well, and what people are mostly using it for, what they're coming and asking, is for joint pain, things like arthritis and movement. And they're asking specifically for these smart hemp gummies. And of course, you can just get some hemp seed oil at about a quarter the price of what these things are being scammed for on the net, and just have some hemp seed oil. So a study came out this week. Topical application of hemp seed oil improves osteoarthritic knee pain. This was a placebo-controlled clinical trial, unlike that Christchurch one.
Nice.
This is in Pain Management Nursing Journal, and it was actually in Iran. Don't hold that against it, because they have unis too. Topical hemp seed oil was found to be similar or better to diclofenac or Voltaren.
Wow.
So there you go.
Better than Voltaren.
This is just rubbing in a bit of oil on your knee.
That's good to know.
Mm.
So because it's just hemp seed oil, does that mean you can buy it, like, today?
Yeah, yeah, no prescription for hemp seed oil. Just get it from the hemp store or from your supermarket.
There
or
you go, whatever, listeners.
Yeah.
Put it on your knees.
Put it on your knee.
And
give it to your mum or your dad or your granddad.
Exactly.
Right now up at the shop, if you want to head up there.
What's going on?
Bring your wee baggie of mystery stuff, because it's substance checking. It's first Thursday up on K Road. Drug Foundation are there right now.
Quite
busy, actually. A lot of people getting their bits checked, which is great to see. And by that, I don't mean they're down there. I mean, they're drugs.
Bits and bobs.
And perfectly legal and confidential, and you're legally protected when you do it.
Good. So, couldn't recommend it highly enough. Just go and do it. It's nearly festival season.
That's right.
It's nearly summer. Get your drugs tested, guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow and Saturday, we've got the doctor, Access Cannabis Doctors, back at the shop.
Oh,
12 till 4:20. Hint, hint. And no hints there. Don't read anything into that. But it's every Friday and Saturday, $30 to see the doctor. Come on in and go legal.
Good stuff. All right, well, thank you, Chris, and shout out to the Hemp Store. Go get your drugs tested there today. Go get your prescription tomorrow. There you go.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with me.